2 Corinthians chapter 12. How many are thankful for the grace of God?
Amen.
Amen. The undeserved favor of God. You didn't deserve it, but He gave it to you anyway. He's so wonderful and loving to us, isn't He? Amen. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. We're reading from the New Living Translation. I have the scriptures here for you as well. So Paul says, even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times, I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time He said, my grace is all you need. How many believe that tonight? His grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses. Wow, what a verse. When's the last time you were boasting in your failures and weaknesses and your shortcomings and, right? So that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships. Look at this list. I want you to grab this. And in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? When I'm weak, I'm really strong. And why is that? The grace of God. Amen. The grace of God. Let's pray. Father, your word is anointed all in itself. I stand here tonight needing a special touch and a special anointing to teach and declare and preach your word. I pray that our minds be engaged, our hearts ready, and our hearts ready to receive what you have for us. God, all glory belongs to you. We wouldn't dare try to take it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Before you're seated, turn around and say, God loves you to somebody. Just tell them, God loves you. God loves you. I believe it's important for you to know that God loves you. Amen. God chose you. God chose you. It is by grace that you're saved, and grace was purposely planned out. You know, the Bible says He has predestined you to salvation. That God wants to save and move in our lives. He has desired to do it forever. There's a sign on a plumber's van. It reads like this. It says, there's no place too deep, too dark, or too dirty for us to handle. That was on a plumber's van. And when I think about sin, that's exactly what I think about my life. God, obviously there's no place too deep. Obviously there's no place too dirty or too dark for you to handle. If God saves somebody like me, He can save anybody. Amen? And Paul was this type of preacher to tell us that God saved me, He'll save you too. God touched me, He'll touch you too. You know, the funny thing is we don't like to talk about our deep, dark, dirty places. We don't talk about them much. Matter of fact, in our society, we are trained not to be weak at all. Even when we have interviews, you know, there's always that interview question that comes up that says, tell us what your number one fault is, or where you're the weakest at. And we're so trained not to tell anybody our weaknesses, we make it something not weak, right? We tell the person interviewing us, well, you know, that basically, if I have a weakness, it's that I'm a very task-oriented person. Come on, right? That's what we do, right? We make something strong appear weak because we don't like to appear weak. Or we'll say something like, "Well, you know what? I'm just a real go-getter, and sometimes I'm gonna really give it my all." And so some people are taken back by that. We don't want to really tell them that there are times where we're really weak, and we're not truly honest sometimes with our weaknesses. But Paul said, "I glory in my weakness." I'm thankful for the weakness because in my weakness, the power of God is revealed. When I could not, God did. When I can't, God does. When I would not, God did it for me. And so the gospel is summed up, the grace of God is greater because there is no place too dirty, there is no place too deep, there's nothing that God cannot reach to. You haven't gone too far that God could not reach you. Amen? There's nothing God can't do in our lives and in our hearts. The problem is sometimes we don't let Him do it. Amen? We don't let Him do it. We like to disguise our weaknesses and make them strengths. But the truth is that the grace of God is a gift that needs to be experienced. I can give you a definition right now and help define grace to you and say it's the unmerited favor of God. But what good does that do if you don't experience that? There has to be an experience of grace. You have to receive it. I told you this morning, that there's a gift and it has your name on it. It's the gift of grace. And when you open the gift, there's a brand new you inside there. And you have to experience that for yourself. I could tonight teach on grace all night long, but what good is the teaching if you don't take hold of the grace of God and believe the one truth that God absolutely loves you with everything He has? Amen. Sometimes experiencing grace is more difficult than talking about grace. Everyone loves to talk about grace, but then experiencing it is a whole nother matter. How many of you experience the grace of God in this place? Amen? Experience His grace. When you experience grace, there is nothing like it. Nothing like it. It's undescribable. Matter of fact, people think you're crazy. You remember when you opened up the gift and you saw that brand new you? And you're like, whoa, whoa, man, look at that. Right? You remember? It's like Jesus said, it's like a treasure hidden in a field. And when the man stumbles across it and sees this wonderful treasure, he goes, he sells everything he has, and he buys the field with the treasure in it. Why? Because it's just that good, folks. Amen. It's just that good. When you experience that, when that experience gets into your heart, nothing in that, I mean, there's nothing greater than just experiencing God's grace. Undeserved, unmerited favor. I wish I could just channel Jack Coe tonight and have him give his testimony to you. I don't know if you know this, heard of this great evangelist, Jack Coe. Well, when Jack Coe became a Christian, he was not a godly man. He didn't grow up in a godly family. He wasn't a churchgoer. Matter of fact, he was known to go to honky-tonks and get drunk and party. That was his lifestyle. But when Jack Coe went to a church service, he gave his heart to Jesus, and he experienced for the first time this wonderful thing called grace. And he got up, he said, his own testimony, he said, "I didn't know how to say hallelujah. I didn't even know what hallelujah was all about." He said, "I didn't know how to say praise the Lord. I didn't know what that was all about." All he said is he got up, he began to walk through the church with his hands raised saying, "Hot dog, I got it. Hot dog, I got it. Hot dog, I got it. Oh man, hot dog." He didn't know how to say all the religious terminology, but what he was experiencing could not be held back with just a simple praise of "hot dog, I got it." He went home to his mother and his dad sitting on this couch in the living room, and he said, "Oh, Dad, oh, Mom, hot dog, Mom, hot dog, I got it, Mom, I got it, Mom, I got it." And his mother looked at his dad and said, "He's drunk. Go put him in bed." Dad takes him back to the room, taking off his shirt. He's, "Oh, Dad, hot dog, I got saved, Dad. Hot dog, I got saved." Next morning, he wakes up, sits down at the breakfast table with his mother, and he says, Mom, I got it. Mom, hot dog, I got it. And his mother said, you still can't be drunk, son. He said, Mom, I'm not drunk at all. I really got it. I really got it. And he didn't even know how to properly express it or to say it. And how many of you are the same boat? You can't properly express what has taken place in your life. You just simply say like my grandma said, I know that I know that I know that I know. Amen. That's all you can say about it because you've experienced something so grand as this gift called grace. Well, you know, the story goes with Jack Coe's mother that she finally said, you know, son, you go to church too much. You got too much of that religion in your life. And Jack Coe said, you know what? He said, Mama, when I was going to the honky-tonks and drinking myself silly, you never said a word about it. And she said, well, you know what? I'll come with you one time and check it out. And Jack Coe said, well, I really wish you would. So one morning, his mother said, I'm going to church with you, son. His dad, everyone came to church. Jack Coe was just as excited as he could be. His mom, a redheaded lady, sitting in there next to him. And father on the outside of the pew, mom next to the father, and Jack Coe on the inside. And the mother, at the end of the service, looks over at her husband and says, well, are you going for it or not? And the man said, the father said, no, I'm not. And she said, well, you best get out of my way then. Amen. And that red-headed mother went walking down the aisle with her hands going like this. She didn't even know how to pray a salvation prayer. She just said, whatever Jack's got, give it to me, Lord. I don't know what it is, but oh, Lord, give it to me. When God got done with her, she came back. She said, Jack, I got it too. Amen. 4 or 5 days later, the husband, came to the church, went down to the altar, and said, whatever they got, I got to have it. I can't live with them too without it. And that's the testimony of a Jack Coe. I'm telling you that story because the grace of God, grace is a gift that needs to be experienced. And only those that experience it can truly testify of the wonderful blessings that it produces in our life. Hot dog, you got it. Amen. You ought to go home shouting that in your heart. Hot dog, I got it. The grace of God. Romans 10, 9 through 12. I want to read these verses to you. Here's verse 9. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How simple is that? If I openly declare, I declare it right now in front of every one of you without fear and favor or concern of what people think of me, I love Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I love him. If I openly declare Jesus is my Lord, he is my Lord, he is my Savior, he died for me, he bled for me, he was nailed to the cross for me, he arose from the grave for me, he sent the Holy Ghost for me. When I declare him as my Lord and believe in my heart, oh, how he changed my heart. How my heart was bad, but he made it good. How it was horrible, but he brought it back. How I was dead in a desperate place to be revived, and he revived me again. If I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart. This is a heart matter, not a theological statement. It is a heart matter, not a doctrine. It's a heart matter. You're not saved because you come to church. Saved people come to church. But that don't save you. It's you're saved because your heart has been made right with God. You hear that? Look at that verse. I want you to see it right there in the scripture. This ain't the doctrine of Bruce Grimmett. For it is by believing, verse 10, for it is by believing believe it in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. It is just that simple. A 5-year-old can do it. A 90-year-old could do it. Someone on their deathbed can do it. They can do it in their mind. They don't even gotta say it. It's a heart matter, but when they say it, hot dog, they get it. Amen. They get it. I'm really trying to teach and not get excited tonight. I really am. Amen. But when I talk about this glorious salvation and how wonderful it is, it takes me back to that church in San Bernardino, California. While I was sitting down there in this church, the Lighthouse Boys were singing. And I thought these were just angels from God or something, because when they sang, oh, the anointing came down. I was the only sinner in the house. You ever been that way? That was me. I came to church. Everyone else was saved but me. I was there on a revival night. It was not a Sunday night. It wasn't a Sunday morning. It was a midweek service. You see, I had a drug problem. My mom drugged me to church all the time. Amen? And so I was always in the house of God, whether I didn't want to go or whatever, but I would always go to church with this mindset as a sinner: I am not getting saved today. But I want you to know the grace of God becomes irresistible. Irresistible. There's such power in the grace of God that you can't resist it. When that love overcomes your heart. I was sitting in that church. Brother Julio was bound to a wheelchair. He couldn't walk. He couldn't, I don't mean that he had a surgery, couldn't do it. I mean, the man couldn't walk, okay? He couldn't walk. It's like God kicked the back door open of the church and started walking down the aisles, and anyone he came close to got healed. It was amazing. Brother Julio jumps out of the wheelchair, okay? He can't walk. And he starts doing this number. Okay, he starts doing that and starts doing a little run. I'm telling you, the church come unglued. Oh, my grandma, you should have seen grandma, man. Woo! Follow the arm. And I mean, that's what she did. I mean, the Holy Ghost just came down in that place. My mama dancing out of the pew into the aisle. I mean, everybody's praising God. It was an amazing time. And I'm the only sinner. I sat down, the grace of God hovering over me, saying, Bruce, accept me. And I said, no, I don't want to get saved. I have to change. If I change, my friends won't like me. If I change, I can't do the things I want to do. I can't act the way I want to act. Lord, I don't want to change. I told him no, but he didn't leave me. He kept hovering over me. I sat there in such conviction that my hands were shaking. And I put my head down in my hands like this, because I knew that if I just did this, I could keep my hands from shaking and maybe they would ignore me. My heart was ready to explode. Because of the anointing that was in that place, the grace of God was just almost irresistible. And I'm sitting there, and this is my moment, you see. This is my moment. If I miss it, who knows what could happen? I mean, this is my moment. And so I'm sitting there with my head in my hands, and I'm waiting for this to just pass. I'm thinking, can I get out of here unsaved? That's my thought. And I was almost at the brink of tears, because I did love him. He said, Bruce, do you love me? And I said, I do, but I don't want to serve you. So I told him. As I sat there, my grandma had enough gumption from the Holy Ghost. Maybe the Spirit lifted off her. I don't know. I didn't look. She just came and she put her arm around me. She said, Bruce, don't you feel God anymore? I said, oh, Grandma, I feel him. Oh, I feel him. My heart exploded in my chest. And I let go. And I said, yes. At that moment right there, I declared Jesus as my Lord. I said, yes, you be my Savior, and I'll be your servant. And I put my, no longer was my head down, it was lifted. And I said, forgive me of my hard heart, that I've run from you, that I've rejected you. And that moment, I was never the same from that moment. And I'm still living off that one experience with God. Oh, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm sorry, I can't compose myself. This is just too good. Salvation's too good. The grace of God is too good. It's not good to go out and ignore it or deny it, but no, run to it and quit running from it and embrace it and say, yes, God, yes. I'll give it up. You know, all the things that I thought I couldn't surrender, they vanished in His presence. The friends, the things holding me back dissipated when God changed my heart. It was glorious. Tonight I could say like Jack Cole, hot dog, I got it. Hey man, I got it. Salvation's so sweet. The Bible teaches, Paul teaches this idea that grace was enough. Do you realize that what you need, God has plenty in supply? Plenty in supply. His grace is enough. Paul says, I had a messenger from Satan. It buffeted me. Now, there's many speculations on what this messenger is. Some say it was maybe malaria, or some say he had an eye disease, or some say he had a physical sickness of some sort. And I myself and other people also believe that maybe he was tormented by the people that he imprisoned and even killed in regards to the faith. I believe that might have been the torment, because he talks about pride and this messenger from Satan buffeting him. So it was like a messenger coming to his mind or his heart, dealing with him. So there's many that speculate, but the truth of the matter is this: the grace of God is enough. Paul said, I prayed 3 times that God would take it away. And every time I prayed, God said, my grace is enough. My power is made known in your weakness. The grace of God is greater than your inability. Where you cannot, God did. Where you lacked, God picked up your slack. You see, we've tried to be righteous, haven't we? We've tried. We've tried to be good. We've tried to follow the rules. We've tried to be good children. We've tried to be set apart. But none of that stuff will ever attain to righteousness with God. It's all by grace, the grace of God, the free gift that we attain to be righteous. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him as righteousness. You and I believe God, it's counted unto us as righteousness. We are not righteous by our merits, by what we do. We lack the ability to save ourselves. All the good you do in your life will not earn you a ticket to heaven. You are unable. I've heard people say, well, will God send good people to hell? No, God don't send people to hell. People choose hell. And hell is full of people who had good intentions that never, ever experienced the grace of Jesus because they didn't accept Him. There is no good. Put this in your mind. None is good. The Bible teaches us that all our good stuff is like filthy rags. Nothing good. We are unable to save ourselves. But that's where the good news comes. When you couldn't, God did it for you. When you couldn't come to God, God came to you. Amen? When you were broke and couldn't move, He came, fixed you, and said, follow me. The grace of God picks up where we are unable, where we can't do it. Paul said, I can't do this. Please remove this messenger. Please get this messenger of Satan away from me. And God said, no, my grace is enough. Paul, I got you. Look at your neighbor and tell him, the Lord's got me. The Lord's got me. Let me read to you what Hudson Taylor said. It does not matter where he places me or how. That is rather for him to consider than for me. For the easiest positions, he must give grace. And in the most difficult, his grace is sufficient. Wherever I am, his grace keeps me. His grace keeps me. You see, church, everything we've tried to do to be pleasing to God will never be pleasing to God. Never. The only thing that pleases God is His Son. This is the message of grace. We cannot do it. Jesus did it. And since He did it, He makes up the where we slack, and we just come to God through Jesus Christ. The Bible is full of quotes and messages of Christ where He said this. He said, I go to my Father where I can make intercession for you. Then I prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. The Bible says, now we can come boldly under the throne room of grace because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. There's so many scriptures that validate the grace of God at work in our lives. You are not saved by your abilities or the fact that you do a few good things. You're saved by Jesus. Jesus. No other name is greater. Amen. This is why God said, if you don't honor my Son, I won't honor you. And what a slap in the face to reject the Son. Say, I'll try to get in some other way. That's called self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. The grace of God is greater than my feelings. It's greater than what I feel like. It don't matter if you feel saved. Amen? It don't matter if I feel like everything's perfect. The grace of God is greater than your feelings. Whatever you're feeling right now, who cares? Well, I'm feeling alone, okay? I got scripture for that. I'm feeling like I can't do it. I got scripture for that too. I'm feeling like the Lord's left me. I've got scripture for that. Because what you feel is not the truth sometimes. Sometimes what you feel may be far from where you truly are and what you truly should be facing or what you truly should be experiencing. And so the grace of God is greater than what you feel. Paul didn't feel like being beat by a messenger from Satan. Don't think for one second that when he was stoned in Lystra, he said, oh, these stones are soft. Do it again. Don't think for one second that Paul and at midnight in the prison cell didn't say, oh, man, those whips were good this time. Did they tickle you, Silas? They tickled me. I don't think Paul said that at all. Grace was greater than his feelings. And you need to know this, that what you feel is not always the truth. And so you have to live by this truth alone, that God's grace is greater than what you feel. It is sufficient for you in wherever you are, what you're feeling, what you're going through. Well, God can't use me. I've been too sick. God's greater than your sickness. The grace of God's greater than your sickness. Well, I'm old. God can't do anything with me. Oh, yeah, He can. Moses was 80 before he found his niche. Amen. Age doesn't matter. Feelings don't matter. The grace of God is simply enough for us. I read this story about a man who was told by God to push on this big rock. The man with joy said, I'll do it. So he pushed on this rock. He pushed on it for days, months, years. And finally, he got discouraged because every time he pushed on the rock didn't move. He got discouraged. He goes, I don't understand why I'm pushing on this rock. Every time I push on it, it's not moving. It's not doing anything. So what's the point of pushing on the rock? And the adversary noticed his weakness, came to him and said, I don't get why you keep doing this. Why do you put yourself through this? And you don't have to do this anymore. Just let it go. Just let it go. But you know what? That man said, well, you know what? I better take some time and bring this before the Lord. And so he went to prayer and he said, God, I don't understand why I keep pushing this rock. I can't move it. And God said, I never told you to move it. I just told you to push it. God said to him, listen, look at your hands, how callous they are. Look at your arms, how strong they are. Look at your legs, how strong they are. You got that by pushing on the rock. Paul said, I will glory in my weaknesses because where I am weak, he makes me strong. We become strong where we just follow God however we feel, however bad it is, in the insults, in the hardships, in the struggles, all of that, the grace of God is giving you one thing. It's called strength and endurance and patience. How many love to learn patience? You said amen like you meant that. Last time I wanted to learn patience, I said, give it to me now, Lord, I'll take it. Right? That's how we pray for patience. Hardships, difficulties. God says to just follow him through all of it, and his grace will make up the difference. And we can glory in Jesus because where we couldn't do it. Listen, the greatest testimonies are not the testimonies of people saying, look what I have done, look what I have achieved. But the greatest testimonies is when someone stands up and says, oh man, I couldn't get there, but look what the Lord did for me. I didn't have the ability. I didn't feel like I could make it, but look what he's done for me. Those are the greatest testimonies because God takes somebody from brokenness and changes them. Grace is greater than your feelings. Here's my last point. Grace is greater than your insecurity. Grace is greater than your insecurity. Well, I don't know if people will like me. That's okay. God loves you. Grace is greater than your insecurity. I don't think people will understand me. Grace is greater than your insecurity. Paul was dealing with this messenger from Satan. God, take it away. I don't feel comparable. I don't feel like I can. I don't feel like I can make it. I don't feel like it's possible. This messenger of Satan is buffeting me. God, what do I do? Three times. God, three times he prays. God, please take it away. And God said, no, my grace is enough. My grace is enough. It's greater than your insecurity. Your I can't turns into I can with Jesus. Jesus put it this way, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things are possible with God. How is that? How does that happen? The grace of God is how that happens. The grace of God, the mercy of God. It's greater than your insecurity. You know, some fish, if you get them, you put them in a small aquarium, they stay a small size. But if you put them in a larger aquarium, they get bigger. Just depends on the aquarium you put them in. You see, some Christians, they trap themselves in their own bottle of insecurity. And they're little fish when they should be swimming in a big pond. But they're little fish because they've been so caught up in what other people might see them, or how other people might view them, or how others might experience them or think about them. And so they trap themselves in this little bottle and they say, I can't, I can't, I can't. But the grace of God says, let me take you out of your small fish bowl and put you in the biggest bowl you could ever be in. It's called the kingdom of heaven. It's called God's kingdom. Let me put you there. And you know what God does with those little fish? that come out of that little bowl that say, I can. God takes stuttering men like Moses and makes them the greatest leaders of their day. He takes a little boy by the name of Joseph and uses him to be a deliverance, not just for him and his family, but even for civilization in his day. He takes a young boy by the name of David and says, go down there and kill that giant, will you? Go down there and kill that. How does all that happen? It's by God's favor on mankind. That's how it happens. Grace is greater than your insecurity. Paul said, I will now glory in where I am weak because it gives praise to God's work in my life. Where I couldn't and God did, that's where I praise him. That's where I praise him. Ask yourself this question. Where has God taken up the slack in my life? Where has God taken up the slack in my life? Ask yourself that question, and when you find the answer, there's where you praise the Lord. And there's where he'll receive your praise. Because many people don't even know why they're praising him sometimes. They're praising him because the praise song is going on or the song's going on. But in truth, it's all about Jesus Christ and what he's done. Amen. Praise him where God has met you and took you where you couldn't go without him. Amen. Praise him for that. Zach, you're not honey. I almost called you honey, Zach. I apologize. Again, I want to tell you, you are not as pretty as my wife, Zach. You're probably thankful for that. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you that your grace is greater. I praise you right now for that day. That day that I opened up the box. I thank you that you didn't quit dealing with me even when I tried to turn from you. I thank you tonight, God, that even as I followed you these years, that I've made a lot of mistakes. I've made mistakes as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, as just a person on this earth. I've made so many. And God, you didn't quit with me. Thank you. And I know, God, that it's always by your grace. Always by that unearned, unmerited favor that you've given to us. Tonight, Father, let every person in here know who you are. Be fully surrendered to you. God, let their hearts long to be with you, God. Let them long to be with you. God, in this place tonight, let your grace be here. Father, I pray that we all be made right with you in our hearts, believing you, that you are Lord and Savior. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way. Have your way. Maybe tonight, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and saying, come to me. Like he did to me that night that I gave my life to Jesus. Or like he did for Jack Coe when Jack Coe said, hot dog, I got it. Wherever you are, maybe the grace of God is calling to you. Maybe you're like me and saying, I don't want to completely surrender right now. I want to wait. But the Holy Spirit is saying, don't wait. Don't wait. Come to me. And the Holy Spirit may be dealing with your heart. If that's you tonight, you say, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. I want to surrender all. I want you to just put your hand up, then right back down. Anybody in this place? Anybody in this place? You're done running. You're done playing games with it. You're going to surrender to the Lord.